The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
Gentlemen, welcome to episode 103 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Nick, you all right over there?
Dude, this fucking bottle, man.
Do you need to leave real quick and get yourself a little wet nap?
Yeah. Well, don't we have those wet ones over in the corner over there?
There you go.
I just need a napkin.
Matt can go grab one for you while I'm doing the intro of the show.
Yeah, there you go.
So I can talk to Rob real quick. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, wubba lubba dub dub. I'm sitting here having myself a just cracked open. The brewery's Mash and Coconut, which is a imperial brown ale aged in bourbon barrels with toasted coconut added, comes in at 13%.
Wow. It's going to be a fun night for sure.
It's going to be a one-beer night for Rob.
It's supposedly, what is it, National Barrel-Aged Beer Day.
Which, wasn't it just like National Drink Beer Day? And
it was, yeah, National Coffee Day.
I think every Friday is a day of a National Beer Day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, to call it national, I mean, was this actually just something?
Was it passed by Congress?
Yeah, was it passed by Congress? Because I believe Congress is the one who's supposed to, you know, anoint days to be certain national days. So to have it as National Barrel Aged Beer Day, I think that's kind of suspect.
You know it's not from Congress because they don't pass anything.
Thank you, Nick.
And that will wrap up our political talk.
All right, that'll do it for the Better on Draft podcast. Or no.
That's why I only said the one thing about it.
Nick, you never have to scream into the microphone, regardless of how far
it's
away from
it. Cleaning up right now.
Yeah, we can see it on
There's
camera.
There's your wet wipes, too, right in front of you there, homie.
Nice.
So did you watch the season finale of Rick and Morty this past weekend?
I did not.
Well, how the hell are you going to do quote Rick and Morty and then not have watched the...
Well, that's because I have to catch up, and I've only watched maybe, we'll say, like 5 or 6 episodes of season one and probably a little over half of season two. It's just kind of been just all over the place, and I actually just got the Blu-ray discs in the mail today, so I'm going to make sure that I watch all of them in order because obviously there's some heavy shit that keeps going down. And watch that. So then I hop on Adult Swim and just watch.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's this website. It's called Hulu. And what you can do is you can actually stream the shows. Yeah.
There's ironically,
man, I already pay for Netflix. I'm not paying for.
Is it
Netflix
not on Netflix?
It's not on Netflix.
Oh.
No,
I'm not paying for Netflix with commercials.
Do you want to just borrow my password? I mean,
no. And the thing is, I mean,
he's too proud.
No. My sister-in-law, she has her account signed into my PlayStation. It annoys the ever living shit out of me just to try and watch something streaming and have to put up with commercials.
Yeah, I don't have commercials on Hulu because
I don't have commercials on Netflix.
The Hulu.
Well, no, nobody has commercials on Netflix yet.
Oh, you're not gonna get
the price of Netflix is already going up $1. So there's going to be some point in some point in time where advertising is going to come in because people are going to say, well, I don't want to have to pay this much money.
No, you know, it'll be if anything, it'll be one of those small banners at the bottom of the screen. It's not going to be a full 30 second like how you go log onto a YouTube and anytime you want to see a video, you see a 10 to 15 second ad and you can like sometimes
I never
click
see
ahead.
Those, but I have YouTube TV. So
it's going to be one. It should just
and
be
you
one
stream
of those.
Everything.
Yes, I do.
You got Rocket Fiber over there?
I wish I did. Rocket Fiber and Xfinity are both like, it's in a contest to try to get like who's going to get to my apartment first between those two. Because I know Xfinity's trying to drop their fiber.
Right.
And then Rocket Fiber. So I'm hoping one of them
can't like
gets
quick
there.
And just throw a cable to your house by now.
I would,
you
think,
would think
so.
Yeah. But and I've been trolling the hell out of them too because I keep getting their post show up on Facebook. And I just basically just say North Rosedale Park 2020, And it's like, oh, we're coming out there fast. Don't worry. We're gonna like
you said
every time
2020.
2020. I mean, because look at the speed. I mean, it's kind of funny looking at the speed of them actually putting their lines in so that people can have faster internet.
Do you think I'll have it in St. Clair Shores before you have it in Rosedale Park?
Probably.
Yeah.
Is there copper in those lines?
Probably.
So, yes, I'll definitely have it before you do.
Yeah, you're going to have it before.
I mean,
well, I'm right next to Gross Point, so they get everything out there.
There's a lot of stuff that they have to go through within the city. I mean, never mind having to deal with Comcast and that real shitty deal that the city council made with Comcast, which basically made them the only provider.
The last couple of years, though, that's changed. Like, I've seen a lot of AT&T trucks at my building, so I know AT&T's at least in my building now.
AT&T has the different phone lines. The phone lines were already up there. So.
Well, it was the same at, I think, your parents' house, Nick, where it was Comcast only for a while.
Yeah, and long time, it was just Comcast. And probably late 90s, maybe early 2000s, that deal was finally broken. And WOW was the first one to come into the neighborhood after Comcast, and then now it's pretty much everybody minus Rocket Fiber.
So while Rob is going to go pour me one of those glasses of the brewery, Nick, what are you doing?
Now that I'm done cleaning up.
Well done.
Double fist in the, what is this? This is the barrel-aged milkshake stout from Rochester Mills.
That's from last year, isn't it?
Yeah, this is from the 12 days of milkshake stout still sitting inside my fridge. Still pretty good, though. And then the 2016 version of Griffin Claw's Bourbon Imperial Screaming Pumpkin.
Nice. How's it holding up?
Well, it smells good, so it doesn't smell skunked, so I guess we'll find out when I take
it. I was saying, because I had one left over. I just drank it last week, so it was still pretty good.
It's actually holding up very well.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's holding up very good. Good job, Griffin Claw. Good job.
Nice job, Kyle Van Inventor.
Matt Bush. Actually, those are your boys over there, man.
Those are my boys. I have no affiliation with Griffin Claw Brewing Company. I just like their products. Ken Konoszewski, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What do you got? What are you drinking, Ken?
Oh, I got a glass of the brewery. I got a Ghetto Blaster to my right, a Super Trooper to my left, and as always, a Monster Energy drink.
So you are. So you're being flanked by beverages.
Yes.
Awesome. Good to hear.
Thank you. How's your M43?
I have an M43, my trunk beers. Leave in my trunk, and then, ooh, I have beer in my trunk. I don't have to go buy some. Great. And then I also just finished a bottle of the best-selling beer to never be in a barrel. Do you want to guess what it is?
Corona.
Bud Light.
A barrel.
I was right.
How many times do you see Bud Light on tap?
How many times do you see anything, in a clear glass that isn't Corona?
Modelo.
Sol.
Snow. Corona Light.
Corona Light. Corona Extra.
Zima.
Zima. Smirnoff Ice.
Smirnoff Triple Black.
Mike's Red Lemonade.
Those Seagram drinks that Brigman was drinking in here the other week.
Oh, my God.
I mean, main difference between the Corona bottle and the Zima.
Old English, 800?
Well, I mean, with a Zima bottle, I mean, you could at least use that as a really big Allen wrench.
Well, this is
a bit round.
Yeah, but this is kind of like defense mechanism. You just break this off and you stab someone from a good 2 feet away.
I'm trying to find the other part of this bottle.
Dang, you gotta go that far.
there's
some right there. Oh, there's some more right there.
Reminds me of my old days at Central.
Oh, really?
Well,
enlighten us.
Not using a bottle of beer.
Wait, time out. Were you quoting Happy Gilmore?
I was quoting Happy Gilmore there.
I was like, the whole scene is playing in my head right now. And I'm like, why is this? What? Where? And then finally I realized who did it. And I'm
I didn't know it was Happy Gilmore, but I knew exactly where it was going. So I just went with it.
So enlighten us about this bottle story there, Matt Bush.
Well, it's not necessarily a bottle story, but at Central, we lived on Main Street. And our house got TP'd and egged one night, like our first night on Welcome Week.
Okay.
Welcome. So, yeah, no shit, right?
Now, is this like a house with a bunch of guys?
Our fraternity house.
Oh, it's fraternity house. Okay, so obviously.
So we're dry fraternity house, like the nice house on campus.
Dry.
No, legit. Dry is written into our constitution bylaws. Highest GP on campus. All that. One of those fraternities. I decided with my 18-year-old angst to just sit on the porch all night as party goers went up and down with a 9-iron. To make sure that we didn't get screwed with again.
And what fraternity were you part of?
Beta Theta Pi.
Beta Theta Pi. Okay.
And Police eventually approached us because police would walk up and down just to make sure the freshmen were doing okay.
Yeah.
Nobody was being an ass. And I was, you know, minding my business. I was sober, so I wasn't doing anything stupid. And then one police officer asked me, well, hey, son, what are you doing with a golf club? And the other one said, he's golfing. So I said, yeah, I'm just golfing. So, you know, I just have a fetish of odd weapons. So I'd be really good at that road redemption game.
I like how you say use the word fetish.
It's not really an odd weapon. I mean, a 9-iron's got a nice angle on it.
It does.
And I mean, you can definitely just...
You can catch a man from about 3 feet away.
Oh, yeah.
And then our fraternity brothers did come back, get drunk, and started selling burgers off the porch, which I had never realized how profitable that was. They just fired up the grill, $5 burgers to every drunk walking back from campus at 1 o'clock in the morning. We cleaned up.
Oh my God.
For the next party.
Good times.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, and the funny thing is, I always see people in my neighborhood, they were walking around a neighborhood with a 3-wood or a driver. I'm like, come on, man, that's hollow. You hit somebody, they're just going to be pissed off.
You know, I've seen this meme on the internet a lot. It says, from a defense attorney, if you carry a bat in your car, please also carry a glove.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. It makes perfect sense. But yeah, I guess that's the same thing. If you're going to carry if you're going to carry a 9-iron, you know, at least, you know, have 8-7-6 in there too.
Yeah.
The cop asked, what are you doing? Oh, dude, I went to the driving range this morning.
There you go.
Hey, yeah, I had to work on a short game.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
And then beat shit out of somebody.
So yeah,
but you could do a 7-iron, and then you could just say you're tin cupping.
Oh my God!
I was 18.
Give me another one.
I ain't no Kevin Costner.
Give me another one.
I'm more likely to carry a shovel and say I was tin cupping.
No. Let's not go shovels, please. Ken knows why.
Spades. I don't know why.
Spades.
Our buddy Perry.
Oh my God.
Perry. Wherever you're at, man, we love you.
He's in Korea.
Yeah, South Korea.
We know where he is. So we do not have a guest in studio today, so it's going to be...
stuck with us.
Yeah, we're going to be just kind of off the cuff chatting, talking about beer, talking about the way... So the big news today that came out that wasn't beer related, did you guys see that AIM is dead?
Yes, yeah. 20 years is what I think it's 20 years since it first launched, and they are pulling the plug on AOL Instant Messenger.
So I actually tried to log into AIM today. I
really?
Got in.
Okay.
It was very interesting to see the people that I was friends with the last time I logged in.
Was everybody
AIM.
On an OI message?
No, there was somebody else on, though.
Really? Do they know that they were on?
I don't know. I didn't message her because I hadn't talked to her in God knows how, probably since the last
time.
Was
this someone I know? Or?
No. It was someone I met through City Club.
Oh, shit.
we'll just leave it like
wow,
that.
Wow, dude. You got some...
I mean, that's the original like social media. That was,
it was.
Pre-MySpace, right?
Oh, yeah. 97. I mean, that was AOL Instant Messenger.
Was AOL. Then, that's what kept AOL afloat.
You needed AOL, and then after a while, like in like the early, like late 90s, early 2000s, you could get your own AOL account.
You know what's
AIM account.
You know what's funny is now I do a little bit of real estate on the side, and every now and again, I'll come across a realtor with an @AOL.com email.
Yep.
And I think either one of two things. They're 100 years old, and it's just the first one. Or this person is not a serious person. Or three, thank God my Mail City email went to Hotmail because I don't feel that old.
Well, I think there's still people out there that use AOL's dial-up, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. I think there's still out there, there's at least, I think, 2 or 3 million people in the country still use dial-up internet, such as AOL.
Juno.
Speaking of which, there's this new show on MTV. I don't know if you guys have come across this yet, called 90s House, where they take early 20-year-olds now and they retrofitted a house to be like 1993 and they have to live in that world. So they're on they're on those iMacs that were all colored.
Uh-huh.
They've got hardwired those jelly phones where they're clear and they got all those colors in them. I mean, they made them go full blossom with their outfits and plaid, and I mean, I don't even know how I would say it that's politically correct. Those
all their porn is pixelated.
No, no, like
no, it's all just thumbnails.
I mean, they're still 20-year-olds. They're still
600x480 or but they've got those 400 on
those JNCOs with the black, the yellow, red, green, black jackets. It's quite a scene. So, 90s house. Next time you get a chance, check it out. It's on MTV. It's garbage. Like the plot, it's like Big Brother, but kind of a real world kind of twist
to it. How do you get like control the scenario like that? Like obviously they don't have a job or anything like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a Big Brother where they've taken they put them in a house, and the first episode is they take away all their technology. So they take away their iPhones. This one guy showed up with Snapchat goggles. I didn't even know those existed.
What?
Yeah, apparently Snapchat has goggles.
Like Google goggles, except just Snapchat.
So it's amazing. It's terrible. It's something that I will unfortunately watch. And I don't know what else to say about it, but if you ever want to see a train wreck, go.
So
this is as close as you'll ever see to a real life wanting to murder somebody.
So Snapchat glasses are only $130.
Damn.
So what's Snapchat glasses?
That's cheaper than getting the VR goggles for my damn phone.
These are literally what looks like sunglasses that can specs make memories from your perspective as their little... You just press a button on your glasses and it records a 10-second video.
Oh gosh, kill me.
So I'm talking like the most ratchet individuals I've ever seen in my life.
First time I've ever heard you use the word ratchet.
It comes out periodically, but this is the most apt description for it. There really needs to be some sort of defining moment in this whole millennial generation that I am unfortunately lumped into, where like if you were born before 1990. You're not, or 95 maybe, you're not a millennial because you had a time in life when you were a kid that wasn't involved on the internet. So I think millennials, if anything, should be like till 95, and the new generation should be like the E generation or the I generation because they're internet and selfish assholes.
So wait, do they change like the TVs so that like all the TV that plays is
box
all
TVs.
But is it like all 90s TV?
Oh, whoa. So the first challenge, if you will. Well, the show is first off hosted.
Was it binge watch on VHS?
No. So the first episode, it's hosted by Lance Bass and Christina Milian. Because when you think of 90s, you think of NSYNC, which is a 2000s band, and Christina Milian, which late 2000s. But anyways, they split these three groups into four individuals. They gave them an envelope with a cassette, a boombox, and they made them film the opening like 30 to 45 second sequence of a 90s sitcom. And all they gave them was a theme and the soundtrack to it. And they made them, you know, come up with what it would look like and what it would be called and so on and so forth. And just watching these people try to put a cassette into a boombox was nothing short of gorillas trying to open up a banana.
Well, it's like the whole when people will they'll walk by with their kid and you'll see a payphone and the kid looks at it like, what the hell's a payphone?
What's that?
There was one. I almost forgot about it. It was one of the events that Eastern Market Brewing Company did. Where was it? It was like over by like West Grand, over by the Fisher Building, and in the building that they had it in, there was a payphone that was sitting in there. Damn thing didn't work, but I just wanted to take that damn thing home. It's antique.
I mean, you could probably still buy them. I mean, all of them were privately owned for the most part.
The phones? I thought they were owned by the phone companies.
No.
Was it like franchising?
Yeah, payphones.
Yeah, I thought it was like an ATM, like a company owns phone.
My uncle actually owned like 5 to 10 payphones, and so if you would put a quarter in, he would get like 20 cents on it. He would you know, the 5 cents would go, and then like he would go to his payphone, take out all the quarters, and then just kind of do the rounds. I mean, you gotta think that's genius. Like it's almost like if you could franchise a like an ATM these days.
Right.
The bank gets their, you know, $1.
Yep.
You get your $2. I mean, bars.
Well, the bank gets their own fee for what they charge for you to use a foreign fee, and then you charge whatever you want. That's why.
You know
like,
who has an ATM? Jack's a tuna. It's a tuna liquor.
Are you serious?
You know how I know that is because I used to be in the credit card industry, and we used to sell ATM machines, and I tried to sell.
What's an ATM machine?
Yeah, right. From the Department of Redundancy
and
Department.
And I would use my PIN number in there. And I would get my honeymead ciders from there. But no, so it's the tuna liquor. The ATM fees are really low. So are the great beer prices and liquor prices. The selection is high.
That.
The selection is high. The fees are low. Zatuna Liquor on Rochester Road, south to 59.
I don't even know how the hell you just segued low ATM fees.
And high liquor selections.
With high quality, high selection, low priced beers.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They have low selection liquor, too. You can get your 5 o'clock there if you need to.
Yes.
At one point, there were 2.6 million payphones in the United States.
How many are there now?
As of 2012, at the end of the year, like 243,000.
Jesus.
Still out there.
Where?
Montana?
A phone bank? Maybe
a phone
bank. What was the movie Hackers? What was that? That was
New
York.
Grand Central Station.
Grand Central Station.
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, there's got to be places still that just have terrible cell service where a payphone still makes sense.
What was that movie with Colin Farrell?
Phone booth.
That was actually a good.
That was a very good, terrible film.
That was not a terrible film.
Colin Farrell is
Kiefer Sutherland sitting there with a freaking sniper rifle.
Colin Farrell hasn't been in one single good film.
Because Colin Farrell had a crazy scandal thing.
Colin Farrell has not been in one single good film.
First of all, SWAT was good.
And I think Colin Farrell just kind of showed up one day on set, and they're like, fuck it,
we can use him.
Fuck it, we can write a bad accent into a guy.
Wait, hold on, time out. In Bruges is actually a really good movie.
I don't even know.
I've heard that. I've not seen that, and I've meant to see that. I've heard that was pretty good.
So In Bruges is a very, very good movie. It's about a contract killer or a serial killer, Colin Farrell. And he's taken to Bruges to basically be killed.
Where's Bruges? What the
Bruges,
fuck?
Belgium.
Belgium, yeah. He was in Minority Report.
So it's like Looper or The Professional, basically?
I mean,
every movie is remade, like, over and over and over again with just different characters and a slightly different script.
I don't... Looper was... How long ago was Looper?
Like 8 years ago?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, this came out around the same time as Looper. This came out in 2008.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like go through the whole thing.
And IMDb of Colin Farrell to try to justify any good film he's ever been in.
Yeah, I got In Bruges, and I will stick by that. But
yeah, I've never seen it, so I'm gonna go ahead.
Right, but what about? I mean, was Minority Report not a good movie?
I don't believe I saw Minority Report, and when I say he was in, I mean
You're talking about him having the starring
not
role.
Not the starring role, but like a significant role.
I mean, he got the Golden Globe in Bruges.
That okay. That's like a Clio.
Oh, damn.
You remember what the B flats or the B sharps did with their Grammy? They threw it away.
I don't know what the B sharps are.
That?
Google the B sharps.
I'll look it up later.
it's the acapella.
He's in the Dumbo remake.
Again,
acapella group.
Oh, wait a minute.
The B sharps was the acapella group that Homer Simpson was in. In this.
Oh jeez, wait a minute.
They won a Grammy for the song.
Hold on. We got to back up for a second here. What the ever loving hell? A Dumbo live action.
Well, this is apparently being directed by Tim Burton, everyone's favorite director.
No, I hate that motherfucker. He single-handedly ruined Batman.
I'm with you. I do.
Upcoming American fantasy adventure film directed by Tim Burton.
So they're
based on the animated film. Will be released in 2019.
So they're
starring Colin Farrell. So he's got a lead role. Eva Green. Where is she from?
Oh, she got naked in Casino Royale.
Okay. Michael
Keaton. Because that's how Matt Bush
Michael Keaton's
every
in this
female.
Movie.
Of course. You know.
Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito.
So they both owe Tim Burton money for Batman.
Alan Arkin and a couple other people I don't know.
So hold on. The only Dumbo movie I want to see remade is Operation Dumbo Drop with Bill Murray.
Danny Glover.
And Ray Liotta.
So
Wait, Ray Liotta was in that movie?
Yes, he was.
No
so
shit.
There's three movies that I love from Tim Burton, and none of them star Johnny Depp.
The Nightmare Before Christmas?
No.
Terrible.
Did not like that.
Honestly, terrible.
Shit.
Batman? Wait.
Wait, which movie? Which movie actually had not have Johnny Depp?
There's a few of them.
Really?
I would say, oh, geez. Okay, this is honest,
so first of all,
right,
first of all, A-list movie with so many A-list actors.
Oh,
come on!
It's a gangster movie.
No, it's not.
It's not the gangster.
It's not what I'm thinking of.
Beetlejuice?
Not well. Beetlejuice is one that I liked, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
What the fuck's the movie that I'm thinking of?
Jack Black is in this movie.
School of Rock?
Nope.
Well,
so
yeah,
is Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
Michael J. Fox, Sarah Jessica Parker.
The Aristocrats?
The Aristocrats.
Wow.
Whoa, what movie am I thinking of?
Big Fish?
It's got Warren Beatty as the... and he's chasing a bunch of bad guys.
I'm going to keep going.
Dick Tracy?
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy.
There we go.
That was
Glenn Close is in it. Annette Bening. Danny DeVito.
Bullworth.
No.
You're still on Warren Beatty.
Pierce Brosnan.
The Matador.
No.
New Year's Day.
No. I'm surprised you don't have it.
Why would I have it?
This movie involved an attack.
Mars Attack?
Mars Attack.
That's right.
Terrible movie.
Mars Natalie Portman, attack. Tom Jones.
That's what I was, because I was
dude,
thinking, he's
don't
he's
you
terrible
knock
movie.
At Tom Jones, dude. Jones is the shit.
That was the thing, because you were throwing so many names out there. I'm like, okay, this movie was terrible. It's got
to
be, all right.
The first time you watch it, it's like, what the hell am
again,
I
doing? No, it's great terrible movie. The entire time.
And then
like
the, and then you kind of get.
And then the other movie is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
It's like.
That's terrible. The premise is,
I didn't know he directed that.
Mars Attacks was like Napoleon Dynamite. The first time you watch it, like, what the hell am I watching?
The
next few times.
The first time I watched both of them, I felt like someone had came in, touched me inappropriately while I was watching the movie, while I was in a trance, and then left out the window.
I don't know if I would feel that way about Napoleon Dynamite, but I felt like I was like one notch dumber, but I felt like I got it back after the first five times I watched it.
I firmly disagree. I think those two movies that you just mentioned are single-handedly the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
Really? What about what about Manos Hands of Fate?
Manos Hands of that. That's a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Yeah, IMDb.
There's a movie that just came out starring Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. Yeah.
It's called What He Said.
It's called Mother, and it is by far one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You know what else was a really bad movie?
Is this out, apparently?
It is. So that's Mother, and then I also saw, I think this year, The Cure for Wellness, which was god-awful as well.
I've never seen the yeast in the bottom of an M43. It's slightly off-putting.
It's funny seeing some of the posts that show up on the group boards about the
yeast,
the sediment that is at the bottom of the cans, and people wondering, is it okay to drink or is it safe?
Of course, it's okay to drink.
It's like, if it wasn't okay, it probably wouldn't be in the can, and there probably wouldn't be any beer in a can either, because if it wasn't safe, you wouldn't be.
Well, this took a hefty left turn from yeast in a can to terrible films.
We started with AIM.
Yeah, I know. Now we're like talking 90s.
Right.
So apparently Mother is not on the IMDb Worst 100. So.
I actually
give it some time. It just came out.
Okay.
One movie that maybe I was just too young before when I watched it. I was like 18. Was Monster. I don't know if you remember Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
Like, I've also seen...
Isn't that the Troy, Michigan?
She's from Rochester, but it occurs in Central Florida like every crazy murder does. It's where, she goes... Crazy lesbian murder jail.
Damn.
That's pretty
spoiler
much
alert.
Yeah,
there's a whole damn movie right there.
If you haven't seen the movie in the 13 years, I think your time's up.
Oh my goodness!
I don't think anyone's rushing to the Family Video to go to the center aisle to find Monster anytime.
What's
soon.
A Family Video?
Dude, there's Family Videos all over the place.
I know. There's still one in
Sterling Heights.
I get phone calls all the time hey, this is Family Video. You have just been nominated for a free rental, so come on in. I'm like, dude, why?
And you still get rentals if you got A's in a report card.
I got those for A's on my college report card.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know what I wanted, but I wanted to see the DVD special features of one movie. So I'm like, all right. So I went. It might have been a TV show. I don't remember.
I mean, that's the thing. It just says that they just have that shit right on the board. It doesn't say how old you have to be.
Exactly.
If your ass is in high school, elementary, junior high, your ass is in college, you're 50. You got a report card. You got some A's on it. Take that shit over to Family Video.
Someone's got a Photoshop machine coming out real quick.
goodness.
Yeah, they still make a lot. Well, I'm sure they make money from like video game rentals still. I think that's still a huge market.
Well, I think
market.
The thing is, like, there's
porn
no
rentals.
Family video?
No. I mean, I know they have them. I've walked the space personally.
Wait, they have those in family video?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's over by the bathrooms usually.
Dad's part of the family. Dad needs it. But I would imagine family video makes their money on those middle aisle videos because you can see new releases all the time. Mm. But it's you can't go to a Redbox and get
the dollar movies that they rent out.
Yeah, like... Yeah. Like the historical movies, like American History X or Malcolm X. I know completely different topics.
X-Men.
There's a triple feature tights. For your next Saturday
Goonies,
night.
Because X marks the spot.
Yeah. But like all those movies that you have to see before you're like 20, maybe /30, you don't get those at a Redbox. You can't stream those on Netflix. You have to physically go and get them and then get confused on how to put them in your VCR.
I remember going to... So mind you, this was when Blockbuster was still around. I would have been in high school.
Oh my gosh,
and I remember having to go find like a Casablanca. No. You know, I think it might have been Casablanca. It was an older movie. It was for a film and lit class that I was in.
Casablanca,
and I remember having to spend like $5 to rent this damn movie, and I was so pissed.
One
disc at Blockbuster.
Damn.
Yeah, we took people over the coals. But that was probably the reboot because they redid it in like 02 and then
re-record the movie.
No, I mean like they did a reboot.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, no, I recall like all the stuff and I'm like, I hate like life so much that I spent $5. But that's also like they got me for foreign flicks because Blockbuster had a bunch of foreign flicks.
Yes.
And I needed...
That was literally like the greatest job I had.
Blockbuster?
Yeah, it was so great. I made like $10 an hour as an 18-year-old. I could show up whenever I wanted to and do nothing or do everything or just take a dump in the back room. And all I had to do was like walk the floor and ask people if they needed something. And then, I mean, I knew how to categorize the alphabet, so I would just point them in a direction.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Goodness.
There was... Oh, go on, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say, because I was actually going to, you know, throw some beer stuff out there since, you know, we are a beer podcast.
We still have an hour and a half.
I know.
We have as long as we want. Fuck it.
But obviously with the Great American Beer Festival that's going on this weekend, which is, you know, primarily the reason why we don't have a guest.
Yeah, everyone's gone. Or busy because everyone else in the company is gone.
Right. Forbes put out an article about the most popular beers at the Great American Beer Fest. And their list really isn't that long considering there's, what, supposed to be like 3,500 beers that are there. Their list only has, we'll say, roughly 7 breweries, but it's rather interesting that one of them is a Michigan brewery.
Can I guess which one it is?
I'll guess
since you're
one.
Looking at the article. No,
I haven't gotten the article yet.
If you guess one of them,
but I was actually
going
to have you guys guess what you thought it was.
I pulled up the article. I'm going to let the other two guess it.
All right.
Well, this kind of goes off one of my things that I was going to talk about.
Oh, hi.
A soft skin secret. Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
so I saw that. I'm going to go with Founders because this week I saw the top 10 or Untappd for 2017.
Uh-huh.
Number one was All Day IPA. So I'm going to go ahead and put Founders as my guess.
As Ken was shaking his head because I think he already knows.
I know because somebody posted it and somebody who works for the company posted
it. I see. So
Mr. Wes O'Leary of
Outside Ales.
There you go.
Shout out to Wes O'Leary.
So what was
Shout
one?
Out to Josh
so
Gordon.
Top 100 beers in the world?
Well, no. It was basically their list of the most popular beers at the 2017, you know, festival. And they listed quite a short list of breweries between Great Notion, Melvin's Brewing, Abnormal Brewing, Scratch Brewing, Weldworks, The Rare Barrel, and Oddside, which I thought that was kind of interesting for Oddside to be on the list, considering the fact that, you know, we have Bell's, we have Founders, we have
is it like
know,
an off
Reddit
the
Arcadia.
Map though? Is it one of those Is it a list that says like, hey, you're going to get trapped by these big guys, but check these small guys too?
Well, if you're looking at the list, probably, just because I don't recall a lot of them. Like, there's no Dogfish Head, there's no Russian River, there's no Avery, there's no...
Did Dogfish Head maybe just send a C&D to Forbes because they have a beer named after that?
I see what you did there. I laughed. quite possibly. Yeah, I think it was just kind of like highlighting a bunch of breweries that maybe like, hey, check these guys out just because,
right.
you know all these other breweries. And even if you've heard, like, you know, just because we don't get Russian River here, probably a lot of out-of-state people are going to Russian River. Mm-hmm. You know, just try all these other breweries that
right.
you can get.
And one of the ones that they mentioned, well, really, they mentioned two different beers in the article, but one of them they mentioned, definitely one of my favorites, and I kind of wish they didn't mention it because then... That just means more people are going to go
Everybody's
after
it. Want to drink it,
now. Right? Is the Rye Hipster the Rye Hipster Brunch Stout, which is definitely one of my favorites from last year. The other one I mentioned was the Pog, which was the passion the ale with the passion fruit, orange, and guava. But that Rye Hipster, which I really hope that they put a bit more of the distribution of that out this year. That I would absolutely love to get some more of that. But other than that, I think the only one that I'm actually kind of really excited about and waiting for is CBS. And
what's that? Like CBS
Founders
Central
CBS.
Broadcasting System?
Yes, the Founders Syndicate. Canadian Breakfast Stouts has nothing to do with the Central Broadcasting System or anything of that nature.
What about the Turner Broadcasting Center?
TBS?
TBS? The Super
Turkish
State?
Breakfast Stout?
Turkish Breakfast
Stout. So it tastes like Pall Malls.
Now that would be tea. That would actually be using Turkish coffee.
What about like tobacco leaves coffee? And
tobacco breakfast? It's like tobacco breakfast stout.
That sounds like something that like
now that'll taste like
Weed would make. I mean, considering you got all the fields that are out there in the Carolinas.
Yeah, dry tobacco? Come on. I think there'd be a different... Is there? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's a law against it. But
I mean, you'd have to.
Weird.
I mean, that's
in a world where we
liquid
have
tobacco.
Beer. In a world where we have cannabis beers, we don't have tobacco beers.
But we have cannabis beers that don't have THC. I mean, that's the whole point. Otherwise, the ATF would be
shutting
everybody down.
That's got to be the.
I mean, you've got the one brewery that's out in Colorado that 2 years ago at the Great American Beer Fest that made. I think it was called Secret Stash, and it was a cannabis infused IPA that they took out all the THC was out, but the ATF basically shut them down and they didn't even care. So, I mean, it's something.
Burt
actually,
Macklin, FBI.
It was it was another article I actually saw this week about the potential. Of cannabis infused IPAs being the next trend of IPAs, but it's gotta obviously get through government regulation first before
purple sticky punch.
It's the stickiest of the icky.
The Maui Super Wowie.
I mean, if it can't even get out of Colorado, then
well, I guess if
it's not going anywhere just yet.
Yeah. But I mean, what if like brewers in Colorado where it's recreationally allowed? They can distribute it in Colorado. They just can't take it across.
Apparently
the
not.
So you got to understand is that Colorado, it's decriminalized. It's not illegal.
Right. Decriminalized in the state.
Yeah.
It's still federally
illegal. Therefore, ATF would be.
And
those alphabet boys.
And the feds still consider marijuana a class. What is it?
It's
a class one.
Class one.
Class
yeah,
one.
It's just like heroin.
So. Yeah, it's nothing like
that. Well, that's the thing, and a lot of people don't understand, and we can, be a little lesson of better on draft. So just because, the city we're in Royal Oak, which is right next to Ferndale, which is where our old studio was. Ferndale, it is decriminalized to smoke marijuana in the city. But if you get pulled over by an Oakland County sheriff in the city of Ferndale, you could still get in trouble. State trooper, city of Ferndale, still get in trouble. So it's, again, you have to be really careful when you talk about stuff like decriminalization versus legal. Because, yes, it's legal in all the sense to where nobody's going to touch you in the state of Colorado. Because the ATF doesn't care that you have 3 ounces of Afghan Kush.
Right.
Or the FBI or anyone, DEA. They don't care.
How do you know about Afghan Kush?
I don't know. It's the internet.
Acapulco Gold.
I was going to say, you've known me for longer than anyone here. Yeah. You know I don't smoke at all.
I know.
And I don't care. I'm like, somebody, I went to one of the family fairs yesterday or 2 days ago over in Detroit, and they're like, hey, would you sign a petition to get marijuana? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to get marijuana legal. Stuff's just annoying to not be legal. The amount of money we can make as a state.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like when Colorado's on a surplus, I'm like, the stuff that we need. So before we go on a break, I want to go through and ask, because we all had.
No, I don't smoke weed.
No, I don't care. No. So we all obviously used AIM one point in our lives. What was your screen name, or at least just one of your screen names?
Okay.
LQ Muda 920.
What is 920?
That September 20th, my birthday.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the LQ coming from Laser Quest.
Yep. Rob?
When I first signed up for AOL, I was too young to have it myself, so it had to be under my mom. So,
oh, then I'll definitely tell you my other one then, but so, go on with yours.
So mine was pretty much my mom's initials, so it was KY Miller. I knew you guys were going to do that too.
I'm sorry.
I knew
Matt Bush, what about you?
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Chief Holla?
No, Chief Holla never made the handle. Chief Holla
was born in a frat house.
No, Chief Holla actually, that's a different story. That's a very off air story. when I first got AIM, I think I might have had 20 screen names because I was a troll. Like a straight up catfish troll.
That's changed.
We got a follow.
Anyways, yeah. So I'm
no,
a big...
we got a donation. Thank
what?
You very much. Kitty Bits for $5 donation.
Thank you, Kitty Bits.
So
podcast forever.
I was both a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan and a wrestling fan when I first started.
Yeah.
So my first screen name ever was Stone Cold Bush. I mean, come on, okay. Blood Sugar Sex Magic, and then
right.
No, we've got it.
And then later in life, in high school life, I ended my screen name with Primetime Bush.
Like, I'm not even mad because that's your name. So, all right. So for me, so I had a similarity with Rob in regards to the fact that when I had an AOL screen name for the first time. So my first screen name ever was Slimmin' Down One. That's Slim N Down One. Yes, that was my screen name because it was my mother's. And then I ended all of my screen names, everything. The last one that I owned was Keg of Kenko.
Okay. So I feel like this is a safe space, even though that we are on a public platform.
That could be heard around the world.
I have a lot of friends from the German club that I was involved with as a teenager.
German?
Yeah, because I'm super. I mean, if you can't tell by the blonde hair and blue eyes that we're the perfect race, then you don't know.
That's racist!
Wow, you need to finish before we go on break.
Yeah, damn, dude, right.
I was known as the King of Detroit because I was from Detroit and all my friends were out of town.
You're about to be a snake on a plane, motherfucker, because I can't believe you just said that shit.
That was it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Good. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft podcast 103.
103.
I have terrible news.
Oh, no.
Jackie Chan just confirmed Rush Hour 4 is going to occur.
Oh gosh.
You son of a bitch. I'm like, he just did The Prisoner, The Foreigner. I didn't see that. Oh, you're an ass.
Rush Hour 4.
Do you not understand the words that are coming out of his mouth?
Yeah, no shit.
Hey, well done.
Oh, gosh. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
Which one of you just said that?
Anyways, before we get to the news, football. How about that? Yeah.
Lions are 3-1.
3-1. And the Better on Draft team.
Who?
Wait, what's that?
Who?
I said Steelers are 3-1.
Who?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Didn't you almost lose to the Jaguars?
That's this week.
That's this Sunday.
Oh. Are you going to lose to the Jaguars this week?
I don't know. I mean,
Matt can see in the future.
We always have at least two stupid losses, so we've already had one. Mm. Let's see if we can just, you know, get
yeah,
this.
Yeah, when you guys lose to the Lions, it won't be stupid.
I'd like to propose a bet with Rob.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
So the Steelers are coming to town.
October 29th?
Yes.
I think if the Lions win, you have to show up in either a Ravens jersey or a Browns jersey.
Why?
Neither of which I don't have, nor will I ever spend the money to get.
Why?
Hold on.
Cleveland, but why Ravens?
Well, because the Ravens, A, are the original Cleveland, and they are also the bitter rival.
Yeah, but Baltimore's won how many?
So back, you got to – so obviously you would have to purchase some form of Browns or Baltimore garb. But now you have to name if you want to accept the bet.
I'm willing to put you up have, half the money for the jersey.
I'm not buying that shit, period.
if the Steelers won, I'd be happy to show up.
If you had one and had to wear it, then yeah, I would
probably. So what you're saying is you're not confident in your Steelers.
I'm saying that I'm not spending my fucking money on some what about piece of shit.
I'm with Rob. I would never spend money on that shit.
See, you have to realize that being a fan of the Steelers, that there are certain logos that belong at the basin of my toilet. The Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Cowboys, and the Raiders, and the Titans, because they are the franchise of the Houston Oilers. So by default, the Titans get in too.
No Patriots, no Green Bay Packers?
He's at the Pats.
No Packers.
No. I didn't say Packers. I didn't say Patriots. I'm talking about overall history, overall rivalry. Patriots, that stuff to me is still relatively new because that's within the last 10 years. Packers,
I'm sure I can get you a Cowboys jersey. I'm sure I can get you a Browns jersey. I will buy you the Browns jersey, in fact. Actually, in fact, I would buy you a Browns cheerleader outfit. If the Lions beat the Browns.
I am not going to be walking around here like a fat-ass Ezekiel Elliott in a crop-top shirt.
Tracy Morgan.
Nah. We'll figure that out later.
I was willing to wear a Bears or a Packers jersey.
Like that's really something you're going to really give two shits about.
I'll wear an Ohio State jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway,
hold on, time out. I got it.
Oh, shit.
He's going to wear a Broncos jersey, Western Michigan.
No, that's a separate bet that I have going on. You don't realize there is a Bronco flag hanging outside my house at this moment as we speak.
Yeah, because rode a boat. Fuck you, son.
So October, November 1st, I believe, the Broncos play the Chippewas. In
damn
Kalamazoo
right.
With Sugar Shane Morris, former product of Michigan, at the helm.
That's some straight rivalry.
I get my central flag out in front of my house again. Thank Jesus.
So we do have a FanDuel set up. We've won the last
three
weeks.
We're 3-1.
So we have four bottles going into this upcoming.
So what are we adding this week?
I am adding a Mocha Munt from Oddside Ales.
Oh, an quote-unquote infected?
No, it's not infected. No. This is one of the new bottles for sure. So it's not infected. It's not quote-unquote infected. This is literally a new bottle, Mocha Munt.
Nice.
All right.
So we got four bottles going to a potential winner.
If you can beat us.
If you can beat us.
Pay attention to Better on Draft's Facebook page. You'll be able to go in. It's free. You do have to pick up the beer in person, Detroit or Royal Oak.
I'll do the shipping.
Oh, okay, Matt.
Wow, look at that.
Matt will cover shipping. Matt will lie to the FedEx girl and say, no, this isn't alcohol.
No, they're yeast samples.
Yeah, exactly, yeast samples. I got the bottle for next week, because I got one that can go perfect.
About to say, we actually saw an uptick in participation last week, too.
We did, and I'm sure as we give out more and more, but there's only 20 people that can join, so...
first come,
quick.
First serve.
Yep. Including us.
So we've got Backwoods Bastard 2015, Barrel-Aged Scrotty, Rum Barrel-Aged 4Elf, and now, Mocha Munt.
Is it Barrel-Aged?
It is a barrel-aged beer.
It's basically a barrel-aged Girl Scout Thin Mint.
Maybe I just got dropped as a child, but I never liked the chocolate plus mint combination.
That's always been a stickler for me.
That one, Right Brain's Naughty Girl Stout. And I swear there's another one. I would probably say Mocha Mon is definitely up there.
I mean, I understand the combination of something thick and hearty like the chocolate and something clean and fresh like a mint. I just, like, mint chocolate chip is the ice cream I probably would never have ever again. I don't know what it is. I just don't like those flavors together. So, hey, please win this bottle because I'm not taking it home.
Well, they're winning everything. I want that Backwoods Bastard, but I can't win it.
Yeah, like,
correct.
I'll take the.
I just have to beat everybody else, or help in beating everybody else. And unfortunately, my teams have not been. They've been up there. It's like sometimes, like
Dan
sometimes,
won
like
last
next
week.
Last,
Dan won last
Dan
week.
Won yeah. last week.
I think we should have a for pride, you know, a belt amongst us. If we win, then someone gets the belt that week.
You can invest in that too.
Okay. Yeah.
We can always invest in one of those fake WWE foam ones.
I need to actually get a belt for trivia because
trivia belt.
Oh yeah, one of my other fellow co-hosts, the Dave Johnson. He has a belt that he gives to his winningest team throughout all of his shows.
You know what you should do? Party hats and kazoos. It's cheap. You could say, "Hey, you win. Here's your party hat."
Yeah,
one true. Party hat for the team, one kazoo for the team.
Oh no, gosh. One of those rolly things. What are those things called?
They're just party.
What about a vuvuzela?
Hell no! I'm putting under that shit.
So as always, with segment two.
You do have a sweet intro.
Thank you. It's a really good, pretty sweet-ass intro. All right, so we're going to go through the news brought to you by North Center Brewing, found in Northville, Michigan, 410 North
Center Road.
Completely lost myself.
As Matt and Ken put
the... You're literally looking at the directions on your phone right now.
Oh,
you can't,
man.
Because I said north, and then I looked down, and I saw just
north,
N, and for some reason, I just...
Center.
My brain just shat itself.
You're literally looking...
I'm literally looking at the address that says 410 North Center Drive.
Oh, seeing that on Twitch
is
awesome.
Just like, you know, about a hop, skip, and a jump from baseline, or as, you know... Eminem refers
Welcome
to it
to 8 mile
as
road.
The 8 mile.
Boom.
So
boom,
the 8 mile. Not any 8 mile. The
not the
eight
not
mile.
Any 8 mile.
The 8 mile.
The 8 mile. So
or for near highway if you're
definitely right. if there's still some coconut brown over there, go get some of that and probably grab this brewery Magic Coconut and do a side by side and see how much probably better.
Get really drunk. See what it's like.
Speaking of which, how is the Magic Coconut down there?
It's all right.
Shit,
it's all right. It's not the coconut brown.
It's a little heavy. Yeah, a little heat.
Yeah,
it's a little heavy.
Yeah,
needs to sit a little longer.
Oh yeah. All right, so we're gonna go through a couple things. Here's one that's been kind of popping up lately in the world because some spots, including Chicago's Red Arrow Tap Room, is putting up self-serve tap rooms. Basically, Red Arrow is letting customers the moment they walk in the door, they talk to the host or hostess. They set up a tab and they're given a card, which is, I don't know, kind of like, you know, Dave and Buster style, where they basically go up to the tap, throw the card in or whatever beer they want, pour their own pint, you know, and a good time is had by all until, you know, they continue to go from beer to beer to beer and then, you know, pay their tab and they're done. So locations, apparently is becoming a thing because this place is not the only one because there's probably like within the last 12 months, there's about three other locations that have been doing this. Well, actually, I think two others. There's another place called Tapster and another place called Navigator, which Tapster has 62 taps.
Shit.
Oh, Tapster, is that like a 90s reference?
It probably is. I'm waiting for Metallica to sue their asses.
Just Lars.
Right. just Lars. So Tapster's got 62 taps, and then you've got Navigator and then Red Arrow, which both have 48 taps themselves.
Interesting.
And then actually another place that I saw was actually a university in the United Kingdom. Reading University has their own self-serve beer tap, which is a 16-tap wall, which allows students to basically buy a beer using a debit or credit card. But essentially, the whole process is them paying for it and then them pouring it themselves. Some people are kind of saying that, you know, the practice kind of takes away the whole idea of servers. And, you know, there's always that thought that people are going to lose their job to robots. You just kind of lost your job to, you know,
Robeers.
Robeers. Exactly.
Robeers.
I see what you did there.
Ha-ha.
So I guess, you know, kind of big deal, little deal, or no deal. I mean, does it seem like we're going to be starting to go into this age where tap rooms are going to essentially be automated?
No.
Yeah, you know what? I saw this on, I don't know if you guys ever watch Bar Rescue. They had a thing where you would, you know, your server comes and greets you. She checks everyone's ID. And then they give you a key fob, not unlike you would have. You remember those mobile speed
I know
passes?
Exactly what episode. It was the pirate bar that they changed.
Yeah, so that you literally put your key to the wall, and then it pours it for you. Because my concern with your concept is if I'm pouring my own beer, I could pour it onto the ground. I could pour multiple beers. Do I know I'm getting? Because it would literally, you would
it's going to count by ounce. It's
yeah, so you put
count.
Your beer down. Your liquid tender would drop it in, 16 ounces, whether.
There's the problem is the way you pour. Because if you don't pour it right,
well,
then
I think,
you
again,
just have just a you just
head.
Basically, yeah, you just have 10 ounces of head, and they're like 6 ounces of yeah. Size of head matters. Thank you, Matt. Okay.
10 ounces of head. Ounces.
I've already ruined this show once. I'm not going to do it again with another.
You sure?
Fun. Yep. Dial it back. But, like, if you go to, like, the Folding Warehouse, they have that bottoms-up system.
Oh, yeah.
There's absolutely no waste on that.
No.
So
unless some jackass wonders, what the hell does this thing do?
But then that's after the pour, though.
Right.
So you swipe, you get your cup. You put it down, 16 ounces. Like, I think it's genius, to be honest. I mean,
it is an awesome system. It
just
really
like
is.
Ken, like, I think you're still going to need someone to get food. I mean, you could still be, it could be like an Applebee's where they give you an iPad and you choose your menu, but someone's still going to bring it out to you. They're still going to tend to you. They're going to bring you your waters and so on and so forth. There's going to be less servers, but there's still going to be a need for a public face to this virtual bartender. I mean, I think it's great. If I could afford this system, I would.
I mean, it seems like the only public face is, well, I mean, I guess
well,
let me take it back. Because
you,
because you got the
busers, the
you have the host or hostess.
You know what I want to say?
And in some places, like I believe because with Red Arrow, that they are they do have a full kitchen. So they do have servers to some extent.
And where you lose server jobs, you're going to increase tech jobs.
Which are higher paying. But anyways, you know what I want to see? Now that we're into driverless cars, especially driverless Ubers, I want to see, okay, craft beer crowd, this is where you hate me. I want to see AB or Miller Coors team up with Uber or Lyft and get driverless beer dispensing cars.
Oh, hell no.
Driverless cars. So instead of a driver, there's a keg, and you can do what you do. You pay to swipe, and you can pregame in the car.
I mean, so long
Let's
as
do
I mean
it.
The
Let's
first
do it.
The first thing that would have to happen, of course, is that there has
Drive
to be
me drunk.
There has
Drive
to be a magnetic strip reader to be able to read your license to definitely make sure that you're over
that
21.
That technology exists.
Yeah, that exists. But what's to say that some kid down the street is having a party after a senior prom, and his mom or his dad or his brother or uncle left their driver's license.
Only one swipe per 5 minutes on the same ID.
Doesn't matter. It's still the ID itself. You could just take your dad's ID.
Yeah.
And
okay, but I would say same ID can only be swiped once every 20 minutes on the same system. That way you
– or – the ID has to match the name on a credit card.
There you go. And only once per 20 minutes.
It's a start. It's not. I don't think it's a finish.
Hold on.
It's a definite start.
I got it. Bruber.
And And
oh, get it away from him!
It's
please.
Right behind your computer. Why
and
are you yelling?
I would say, and you just
wow,
got sued.
It that far? Man.
That's a C&D right there.
What is it? Is Bruber?
Is Short Tail? Thank you. you're still getting a C&D for that one. It's too close.
Well, I mean, there's no Brift.
Well, I mean, maybe that's why there's no porn channel like called Boober.
One.
Probably.
Or BoobTube.
Right.
Brew Driver. We got a Brew Giver. Can we get a Brew Driver?
A Brew Driver?
I'm calling for a Brew Driver.
Right.
You just want the car to show up to give you beer.
Instead
of the ice cream man, it's the beer man.
Yes, I had this idea. Could you imagine if you're at a frat party or you're at a house party, and instead of saying "shit, we're out of beer," you hear the beer truck come up, and it literally has just fridges full of cars.
There are so many. Oh my god!
No, there are literally zero problems.
There's so many regulations that would have to be done with this.
This is the only.
Because I mean, you're talking about it being driverless. To show up,
I'm okay. No, ice cream truck with driver shows up delivering 30 packs like Santa Claus on Christmas. Okay, it's a cool truck. It's like the Swans guy. You ever see the Swans?
Oh yes, I've seen the Swans guy. I've wondered what the fuck the Swans
is that guy ice cream
is.
Paint job.
cream on the outside, clean on the inside. Yeah. So,
all right, Doro.
No, I think that's Jeezy. Actually,
no, that's Doro. I know. Jeezy covered it.
But could you imagine? Yes, yes. I called the state Congress on this exact idea. I want party stores to buy ice cream trucks, their liquor license to transfer, and then drive up and down the streets of especially college towns stocked with cases of beer, selling them to drunk co-eds. Because guess what?
If you could sell $5 burgers just sitting on a stoop.
Do you not think you could sell a $30 case of Natty Light, a $30 30-pack, instead of, like, making them walk to the store? Like, at 1 o'clock in the morning, you don't think someone's drunk enough to give you
$30 bucks? Unfortunately, Michigan State, and you're over at, like, Hubbard and Acres, just, like, doing a circle around all the
get some pop music instead of like lullaby.
Unfortunately, just even despite the quality of beer, yes, I think that could actually work.
I was gonna say you'd have to do you have to get some like type of beer and like enthused song.
What about
like,
shot? Everybody.
Yeah, but then they'd expect shots.
Exactly.
From you.
Then they're expecting shots.
Then you pull over in front of the frat house. You sell Jello shots and you sell 30 packs, and then you go right down the block for 15 minutes, and then you go on the next block and you just do little circles.
Wow. I was gonna say you could probably make a killing.
You would make
Jello shots and shit.
As they would say in Step Brothers, I want to make bank, bro. Cash and checks and snapping necks, bro.
What?
I thought they just said boats and hoes a bunch of times in
that
movie. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Nachos, lemon heads,
wow.
My dad's boat.
I'll do you in the bottom when you drink some beer.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, moving on.
Down with, never mind.
Moving on. Survey took input from 1,200 American individuals who said that, and this is always something that seems to definitely get on Ken's brow here.
What?
They are alcohol consumers, and only 30% said that independence was extremely important when it came to who brewed the beer.
What?
30%.
I'm confused.
Only 30% people care about craft beer.
Right. Basically, you know, they're saying that and based on a survey that independence was extremely important when deciding what beer to purchase.
But didn't we establish that 7 out of 10 people are a macro drinker anyways? And it's only the 30% that really drink craft beer?
Yeah, because for every it's more than that. It's like
for every 10 beers, I thought seven out of every 10 beers was a Miller or Bud Light.
You're talking Miller or Bud Light.
Yeah.
Not Molson, Labatt, Miller Light, Coors Light, Bud Light, Bud Light. No. At one point, I remember looking at a stat, and it's for every craft beer made, 12 ounce to 12 ounce, it's 3 Bud Lights for every craft beer.
I mean, that still fits the model. I mean, that's – so then you have – Yeah, it's 6.5, 7.5 till.
But that's Bud Light. That doesn't include.
That is cool. Coors Light, Michelob, Bud. All of those. Labatt.
Sorry, I hijacked that.
So there was another one. 40% said that the quality of beer stays the same after a brewery is purchased, while 11% said they believe the brand improves when it's purchased. So the question kind of for craft breweries is, you know, can 30% of drinkers who actually care if their beer comes from an independent brewery support more than 5,000 breweries?
I'm gonna just chime in. Yes, because if you drink a, let's say, let's go to anywhere. If you drink a pint of Bud Light, it will cost you roughly $2.50. If you drink a pint of XYZ craft beer,
it's a Thursday.
Okay, but if you you buy a 6-pack of Bud Light, it's $4 at the party store. If you buy a 6-pack of Sam Adams, it's like $9. So that 30% of people is willing to pay two times the cost for a better beer. So, I mean, the economics works where I would say that if you went dollar to dollar, that 30% of Americans that you talked spent about, I would say, within 10% of what the other 70% charge.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's the same amount of money going into the industry. It just depends on where it's coming from. The craft beer drinker is less often than the Budweiser drinker, because you got that Budweiser drinker drink a case a day, but you're putting in twice the cost per ounce as you are on a craft beer. Thus, the money is the same.
Matt hit it right on the head. So you're saying, like 30% of drinkers care that their beer comes from an independent brewer, yet independent brewers, craft brewers only cover how much of the market? 10%?
No, you just said 30%.
No. That's 30% of people.
Right, 30% of people. And granted, it's a very small scale, because I mean, we're only talking 1,200 people.
30% drink 10%.
Well, it's the 80-20 rule. Like 80% of people drink 20% of the beer, and 20% of people drink 80% of the beer. I mean, it's one of those, like, it's not Feinbaum. Who's that asshole? Carnegie or something like that? Who says, you know,
he has a hall.
Not him. It's Maxwell, I think it is. But like 80% of beer drinkers drink 20% of beer. But the 20%, those craft beer drinkers drink 80% of the cooler.
I feel like I'm thinking about Naked Gun right now, where that scene where they're saying the dude has a 50-50 chance to live and he's only got a 20% chance of that.
Does he have a wife?
Well, I guess it kind of makes me think about, you know, the whole label thing. And the whole independent craft labels and how
I'm cutting you off right now. Right. Sorry, because I'm ready.
Soapbox.
To go. No, not soapbox. How many things have you purchased because it says made in Detroit?
So many.
Any, as long as it didn't have Kid Rock's name on it. I mean,
now it's like that is a Detroit mindset. Now expand that. Expand that to Michigan. That's a Michigan mindset even more. Now expand that to the USA. That's a USA mindset, made in the USA.
Did they come with red hats?
No, the red hats were made in China.
China.
No, so you have this, I want to buy local, buy local. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You go to Eastern Market, buy local. You go to a flea market, buy local. You go to a grocery store, they have buy local, Michigan made, Michigan farm, Michigan this, US this. That's the whole thing. That's why people buy local. So when you're talking about the 30%, you're talking about the hipster douchebags who are pretty much buying local for everything, which is fine. I don't mind that. I don't think you're a bad person. I don't think you're negative. But I think that's where that number comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also the dollars. Like, those people who are buying local recognize that it's going to cost them more, and they're willing to do it because they know that. You sell to John down the street, you pay an extra couple of bucks that pays his light bill. So when you sell something, John's going to buy from you.
But
he's
even
pay a couple extra dollars to pay your light bill.
Even that 30%, it's but it's not type group. So you buy something, but it's not Anheuser-Busch. Or, you know, but it's not Big Beer. Will you buy Founders? Well, it's not Anheuser-Busch. Will you buy Goose Island? Well, it's not really Anheuser-Busch because it's Goose Island. And then you buy Bourbon County. And well, it's not really Goose Island. This is their special brand. Like, they'll make excuses to drink the beer they want to. There is a very rare amount of people out there who will go independent only.
And you know what? I think the rise of breweries nationally, like, it gives you an outlet, like, locally to know the guy that's brewing the beer, to be friends with him, to enjoy his beer. Like, we've had so many people on the show that we've become friends with, and we can go to their establishment, we can support them, we can drink quality beer.
But those are also the people that are out talking to people, too. We're not
talking. Educating.
They're not educating. They're the owners. Like, you go to Downey Brewing, and you see Dean, Dan, you see all the brothers, mothers.
You see
them all out there. They're not hiding in the back. You go to Ascension. I've been to Ascension a few times. You see Adam out there. Actually, you see Adam in the kitchen more than anything.
Yeah.
You go to North Center Brewing, and you see Kevin out there. You see all the brewers out there hanging out.
My thought is, it gives you a local place, a local face. It's like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. As stilly as that is, you know.
Stilly?
Is that Bigly?
Lost my point.
So, all right. So, I guess quick question, because obviously there was such a drop off from Wicked Weed when Wicked Weed was bought by ABI. Give me what you think your percentage is of the people who basically shat on Wicked Weed because they were bought by ABI that actually went back and still drink Wicked Weed.
85.
Higher than that.
Yeah, I think.
90?
I'd say 98, 99.
So pretty close.
One out of every 50 people shunned Wicked Weed for being Anheuser-Busch. I think that's pretty. One out of 50?
I mean, Wicked Weed's national, right? So
not at all.
Mm-mm. No,
you're talking couple states max.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, I thought 85 would be a conservative estimate. I think there are people who just thought like Wicked Weed has a tap room, right? I would imagine.
Yep.
Is it like where they have a production facility and then a tap room, or is it like one in one?
Well, I'm sure they'll have a production facility.
So you're ready, Wicked Weed, North Carolina, which is where the brewery is, Texas. That's it.
Well, my thought is. Let's say, you know, we have them on the show a few times. Baffin gets bought. You know, Evan said if they backed up the Brink's Drunk, he would say sure as long as we can ensure the quality is the same. Like, it's not that I wouldn't drink Baffin. It's just I might frequent Jamex or Shipwreck just because I know that money is going directly into those people's pockets. I mean, Evan's already got $100 million. So if he doesn't, you know, pour me a 4-ounce pint, it's not going to hurt him. But if I go to Jamex and I give him my $4, that's something he's going to put on his sons, James and Alex.
Well, it's the same thing when you go to Brown Iron Brewhouse over in Washington Township. Just
see what you did there.
You know, you go check out, and whether it's their beer or the beer that they present there, because they have a tap house, a lot of more guest taps than any, the 65 guest taps, I guess, with 69 taps for them being their own.
69,
Heading out to Brown Iron, you get food, you get all that stuff. You get great pub trivia like Quizzo over there.
Just missed the Oktoberfest Steinhoisting competition.
You just missed the Steinhoisting.
So, tone rotator cuffs aside, go back.
So,
they just tapped their Eisenfest Brown Iron. Their own.
What does that mean?
It's a beer. It's an Oktoberfest beer.
We're going to be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
Gosh, what an idiot.
And we are live, episode 103.
So just
of the Better on Draft Podcast.
So,
hello, Matt.
Before we get back,
hey Matt.
Oh, we're actually fully live.
We are fully live. Yeah,
we're live.
I thought that I was coming back before we were going live, but that's fine.
No, sir.
So I said 1:30 until we were live, and then 1:30 happened,
and then we're live.
And then we're live.
So five questions, or are we still talking some news?
No, we're talking about whatever the hell you wanted to talk about. You want to throw something in there? Go for it.
Segment three is the Matt Bush segment.
Segment three is the Matt Bush segment? All right.
This is where he tells us that his fiancée is pregnant.
Really?
So I have good news and I have bad news. Which one do you like?
Let's start with the bad news.
Well, the good news is...
God damn it.
What's the point of asking if you're going to do it? I have retired Named at Beer.
Oh, no.
What I've replaced it is... The Worrisome Growler of Truth.
What the hell is...
So this is a growler of craft beer, and I will let you use any source of media online, sans
hold it up.
Beer Advocate.
Hold it up for people to see.
So this is the, well, currently this is the worrisome growler of truth. However, it will have a paint job sometime. And it will be very sad.
So you're keeping this growler, and then you're just going to...
So instead of giving you a really bad 24-ounce beer, I will be giving you a craft beer from now on. I will be giving I will be giving you three questions.
This just got harder.
And I will read you the most recent Beer Advocate post on that beer.
Okay. Right.
So you will... So what's going to happen is I'm going to open this, which I've been taking off the tape, and I will let you choose. I'll let you smell it and choose how much you're willing to drink.
Choose how much you're willing to drink.
I mean,
this is Jeopardy.
I'd like to bid half a solo cup, please.
I was going to say, is this like, what's the name that tune? Like, I can that beer in three sips. Like,
you're going to smell it. You're going to put it. It's still going to be a collective issue. You're still going to ask me three close-ended questions. I'm going to try to focus on Michigan beers. This one, full disclosure, I got it from Wilson. So, please don't look at Wilson's. You know, on tap list currently, but that would give it away.
I'll wager 12 ounces.
So, but to begin with, we are going to start with geography.
Yep.
Number one, unless you've been living under a rock for the last millennium, the largest football stadium is actually here in Ann Arbor, where Michigan will take the pleasure pillow to Michigan State tomorrow.
Michigan Stadium.
The record,
excuse you?
Yeah, yeah. The record, which was set on September 7th of 2013, was the first Under the Lights game at the Big House. What is the highest ever attendance at an NCAA football game? I'm going to let you each pick. We're going to play Price is Right rules, close without going over.
And we're just talking the Big House? Highest attended NCAA football game, period.
Which did occur in the Big House on 9/7/13.
Okay.
So, without going over, who wants to go?
I'll start because.
All right, go ahead.
I'm gonna go with 103.
Okay, Nick, you're next.
Oh shit! How much does the Big House hold?
I don't know.
Well, I know the exact number.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say.
I was gonna say now I could look it up just because I already.
I'm gonna say 108,220.
And Rob, don't say $1, please.
I wanted to say $1.
Fuck you. Fine, say $1.
No.
One person.
It was empty stadium.
You know, thinking, I guess, in my Card Sharks mentality, I was thinking a little
greatest
higher.
Greatest underrated game.
But what
ever.
You call it? Exactly. FC Barcelona is playing with an empty stadium right now.
But I also have to, take into account the fact that, Penn State's stadium is pretty damn huge, too. So I am, I am just going to go with my gut and go with it. So I'm going to say 112-215.
Peaches and cream.
Give Rob a ding da ding da ding ding. The answer is 115-109.
Damn.
The largest group to ever watch a National College Association.
That's crazy.
Football game.
That's just I can't even fathom that many people.
I was actually thinking 113. I was like, no, let me bring it down.
I wanted to say 110 plus, but I just wasn't 100%.
We are again, obviously, because you're just hearing the droning on of our voices, sans a guest. So the Great American Beer Fest started in what year, and how many breweries participated in that first year?
The first one and how many breweries?
The first one?
Was in what year, and how many breweries participated?
I just for the hell of it, I'm gonna say 98, and then for
as in like breweries or
98? No, I'm gonna say the year 1998, and I'm gonna say 12.
I'm gonna say 1996, and I'm gonna go higher on the brewery count. I'm gonna say 65.
1987, 30.
In 1982.
Oh, wow.
82.
22 breweries sailed the ocean blue. All right, so.
Did there.
The worrisome growler of truth. So.
To Columbus. This one.
No, to indigenous peoples, which is one of the
to indigenous peoples.
Here's your cup. All Rob, right. I'm going to let you crack this open.
All right.
Give a whiff and then decide how much you want to put in your cup.
It's Four Loko.
What the fuck is this?
Do they sell Four Loko on draft?
Just are you gonna go a little bit or a lot, Rob?
Oh, it's red.
All right.
Rob won about like a third of the Solo Cup.
Almost, yeah, it's close to a half.
All right, go ahead, pass it to Nick.
Yeah, dude, it pretty much smells like waste management forgot to pick up the dumpster.
Oh, shit. So Nick, sniff it.
God. Put it in your mouth and suck it.
So how much are you gonna, Nick? How much are you gonna pour? A little bit or a lot?
Less than Rob poured.
Okay. Hey, since if I can drink
that,
you know,
that looks almost clear.
If I could drink a swig of Four Loko, then I could pretty much do anything. God. So you know,
Ken, this
all
is...
right. So hold on. So Matt, here you go.
Wow, what?
Follow on the cable. There you go.
This is just a generic growler, right?
Actually, we got this from J1 Fuel Stop that was on about a month and a half ago.
Yeah. We're good for the cam.
Shout out to Steve.
So
Steve's your boy.
I cleaned this one out.
We could definitely see the baldness of my head.
I cleaned this one out, and I went to Wilson's, and I said, you know what? I want that beer. So Ken's about pouring a full cup.
I can't.
So, Ken, do you have a little an odor that
yes.
you can?
Yes,
I can't do it.
Yes,
beer. I want to drink it.
Nick finally has one that he is dying of.
Dude, I can feel it like twinge in my stomach right now. That's how bad it smells.
So, all right, here is the introductory of the beer. Clocking in at 3.82 out of 5 on Beer Advocate.
What?
Oh, I thought you were about to say 3.82%.
Yeah, like, what?
No, this 5.82. This 5.2 ABV's most recent beer rating reads as such. 3-49 over 5. Curious as to why this beer is actually getting decent ratings. Well, I mean, you rated it's pretty high. It smells and tastes a bit like actual garbage.
Yes! Yes!
I mean, in a strangely appealing way, but it's a mess. It smells sour with a tinge of vomit. It tastes sour at first, but then finishes with a mediocre crackery base, not a white person base. This beer is This beer is here, there, and everywhere. I have to wonder if this is a bit infected, but at the same time, this is pretty par for the course for this brewery. I'd imagine this was meant to be brewed this way. I make it sound like I hate it. But I don't. .. for some reason. At the same time, .. eh. So September 11th, 2016.
Never forget.
So that was the last review was September 11th, 2016.
That was the last review. There have been reviews since, and this is a fresh keg. I know it. So that was the last beer.
So is this an odd side beer?
So you have three questions now.
We have three questions.
Taste it. Has anybody tasted it?
No, I haven't. I want to talk about the review.
Rule number one for this game, because I'm going to make one rule for you.
Please do.
You have to tell us if it's Michigan or out of state.
Okay, this is a Michigan beer.
I'm going to say, because there's so many damn breweries in this state.
This is a Michigan beer.
I think that's a very fair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I will do my darndest moving forward to make sure that it's a Michigan beer.
Yeah. If it's not, you just tell us.
Yes.
So going to the review itself.
I will simply say, I will simply say that it tastes better than it smells. All
right. So it's. I
wouldn't go Dan Delicious. But you know it's.
Dan would be like this.
So it's not milking; it's brick.
Brick. Wow.
So, let's look at the review. It said on par for this brewery.
That sounds like something somebody would say about Atwater.
Well,
I would say Oddside
or Kunin. That's the thing. I wish we hadn't. We need to start bringing at least like a clear glass for each one so we could pour it into a clear glass so like we at least see the color of it. Because while it is in red Solo cups, it does haze the color and change it a little bit. So
that's the thing. You said this is from someplace called Wilson's. Where is Wilson's?
Across the street. It's a party store across the street.
Tastes
this
tastes like water.
Well, so you have to realize it says, I wonder if this beer is a bit infected, but at the same time, this is pretty par for the course for this brewery.
I seriously don't taste anything. I don't taste anything.
You don't get any flavors? Right. Rob,
no, I'm not.
I'm going to move the mic back real quick so you guys
I mean, there's
or
a
move the cam back.
There's a little bit? I mean...
I don't even know if it's a little bit.
What's the predominant flavor of, if any?
Bitterness beer? In the back of your throat?
So I have a question.
Please do.
And I think this will help because it's close-ended, so it's a one or other. East or west of 69?
Ooh.
I'm going to need geography for that one.
Okay. Well, while Matt learns his geography.
For those outside of Michigan, we are talking about Interstate 69, not, you know, state of the gutter.
I-69. Yes.
So while he does that, when are we posting the FanDuel?
We're going to post it right after the show.
Okay.
Right on our Facebook page.
I would say. Well, I'm looking at the map now. West.
Okay. What brewery is it?
It was worth a shot.
However, that's not going to give you the answer. The answer, my friend, is still blowing in the wind.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not going to give us the answer, but it's still going to at least break it down in regards it's not Atwater.
It is not Atwater.
West of 69.
Northwest of 69.
Northwest of 69.
Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, that...
This tastes like red wine to me.
That pretty much puts everything from Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids to Muskegon to...
Is it Traverse City?
Traverse City would be... Yeah, that would still be...
Right brain.
Right.
Petoskey would be east of 69. You're giving me a nose like yes, it is. It might be right brain, but what the fuck would this be from right brain or Traverse City brewery?
So, again... I mean, if you could pick up any sort of flavors from this.
I can't.
Now that, you know, Nick was talking about it, it has a bit of a like a tang to it in the beginning, and then it's like Kaiser Soze, it's just gone.
So let's think about it this way. I'll give you the fact that it's a pretty well known not pretty well known, but it's a known brewery. Known for crazy off-the-wall brews.
Oddside?
It's got to be.
Well, it's Oddside, Right Brain, Shorts.
And I kind of put it this way. If I just finished a softball game and this was the bar, you know, giving this in pitchers, I wouldn't mind this.
So it's better than Four Loko.
It's far better than Four Loko. I mean, but the problem is that there's really... There's no flavor. I'm not really getting any flavor of it.
It's just there.
It's just there. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm thirsty. You know, hey.
Is this like the problem with the growler, though, in general, that you don't get the flavor that you would have otherwise got on tap?
I'm getting more bitter now.
I'm getting a malt bomb. Like, not like malt kick you in the face bomb, but a malt bomb.
Yeah, maybe.
It's starting to remind me of a homebrew.
So you still have two questions left, so do you want to...
All right, let's try... God, I wish it's hard when you have open ended or not no open ended.
Right,
so you gotta break it down a little more. So, like I have no ideas. Like
this gets a hell of a lot trickier now that it's you know being
well
crafted
we've got west side of Michigan,
right?
We've got. Potentially northwest Michigan from the looks.
Right.
So I really think it's either right brain or shorts. I think those are the two biggest ones
yes.
up there. Okay. So
I'm really having to bring you guys to water, aren't I?
Well,
see,
I mean, if
it's one of those, then my almost default
we
would
still
be
have a thousand options from shorts,
right.
And then another 100 from right brain.
But if he's saying yes on right brain or shorts, then my default almost goes to right brain because they're
you have two
honestly
left. You can
is this right brain?
It is
okay.
This and that's why I don't care for it.
That helps us a little
it's
more.
Right brain. There's
what
quite a few
right
beers
brain
from
rake that's not CEO stout.
That's the only thing, and I know is that, and honestly, that's the only thing I like from Right Brain is the
really
regular
good,
CEO
they
stout.
They have really good hummus up there.
When they did,
yes, they do.
When they did the boardroom series of CEO stout, and
we can hear some video
around,
from someone by the way.
They started messing around with the peanut butter and the barrel aged, and it just was not CEO stout. And on its own, it's perfect. It makes a CEO on its own makes a great beer, and from Mel's Toffee, it makes a damn good toffee too. But
I would bet you this would be a great toffee as well.
I can't.
So okay, so hold on. Look at what color is the beer?
Hold on, it's red. It's an amber.
Think outside the amber, but into the red space.
Alt? It's not an alt beer.
It's not.
I know that.
I'm about to say, if anybody knows an alt around here, it's going to be Ken.
As they would say on Toy Story, you dense motherfucker.
I'm not sure they would actually say that.
I don't know if that's
Story.
Toy Story, but I just.
But I've never seen Toy Story anyway.
The meme.
So.
You've never seen Toy Story?
Dude, the last Disney movie I ever saw, Lion King.
That was a great movie.
First movie you ever saw at Disney, Lion King.
Great boat.
I don't give a shit about Disney.
That's a great movie. That should pull you in further, not push you away. Nick, you've been quiet. Are you too busy on FanDuel?
No.
Are you too busy?
I ain't got nothing.
All right, should we just like surrender? Are we surrendering?
No, we're not surrendering. We're not surrendering. Is this an amber ale?
I don't believe it to be an amber ale. Beer Advocate listed this as a fruit ale.
What the fuck fruit is in this?
Cherries. Do you guys not taste the cherries?
No. Dude, it's like you said, like Nick said, I taste nothing.
But that's the thing, though, is it's a faint cherry. It's not like a zombie killer kick you in the face cherry. It's
Beer Advocate says this is a this is a fruit beer style fruit slash.
Okay, that breaks
fruit
it down.
Style.
It's I know what it is.
Yes? Vermont style farmhouse. What the
it's a juicy IPA.
Right, juicy IPA, like shit.
It's a cherry pie.
Is
this the Finn Balor?
No, it's Warrant.
Oh, it's cherry. I thought it was the. Yeah. It's... Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Let's put that away before we get in trouble
get
with
CD
YouTube.
And that
we
shit.
Get 7% of the song. Okay.
C&D.
So this is a whole cherry pie by Right Brain Brewing Company.
Yeah, it's an amber.
This
apple.
Ain't even a quarter cherry pie.
Beer Advocate. I'm going off of Beer Advocate. It's a fruit slash vegetable.
This ain't
beer.
Even a half-ass cherry pie.
It doesn't taste. I taste the cherries. That's all I taste. All
right.
I taste cherry. I taste biscuit. That's about it.
Well, there's your cherry in your bread, your crust. So, all right. So I don't know if you. So, this week, an unlikely celebrity feud arose on Twitter when this former world champion athlete challenged this 80s to 90s action celebrity to fight, which can only be billed as the Geezer's Malice at Caesar's Palace.
The Geezer. Wow.
The Geezer's Malice at
what?
Caesar's Palace.
I don't know. I missed
world,
this
world
one.
Champion versus action hero?
World champion. What sport? Let's at least get a sport.
Well, it's a UFC. It's going to be within.
Is Sylvester Stallone one of the two?
No, Sylvester Stallone. All right, so.
It's Arnold.
How do I put this? Okay, so this former Olympian battled this former CIA or challenged this former CIA / DEA / ATF.
Steven Seagal versus.
Oh, no. Steven Seagal versus George Foreman.
Yes.
Oh,
my. So this
wait,
week,
that was a thing this week?
Yes. So on Tuesday this week, George Foreman, for some reason, via Twitter, challenged Steven Seagal to a fight, saying, I will box. You can do whatever you want to do. George Foreman, 67, versus Steven Seagal, 65. The Geezer's Malice at Caesar's Palace.
I mean, celebrity boxing all over again.
I know.
No, this is celebrity deathmatch, the octogenarian.
Geriatrics
Club.
I mean, even if, you know, George Foreman was still, you know, just a little
at the
bit
pizza,
past.
Pizza Arena.
Yeah, at the pizza.
Did you see UFC's hockey, coming hockey. To the pizza
yeah,
arena?
Yes, they are.
Yep.
George Foreman fought like he was, like, using a dry mop.
But he fought for 100 years.
I know, but, I mean,
Hey, first question.
He'll catch you on the chin, but damn, he's just ugly fight.
Who would win, George Foreman or Steven Seagal?
In their prime?
No, right now.
Oh, right now. Shit.
I think Seagal will win.
Seagal.
Seagal.
I don't know if you've seen Seagal lately. He has grown out, not up.
I so honestly, that's my problem is that I honestly would have to
Foreman
think about
still
that.
Has bricks for hands,
and my mind just immediately goes to Foreman.
I don't care how much Aikido you know if you need an asthma inhaler to do it.
He just kills someone with his bare hands.
Seagal went full Val Kilmer, he just
the last Google I said I googled Steven Seagal. It said Steven Seagal gets a chokehold, poops pants. So I'm pretty sure he's not in the greatest of shape.
He would be one of those ads at the bottom of a page that would say Steven Seagal looks unrecognizable now.
No. Steven Seagal would be the walking model for erectile dysfunction.
Oh.
Have you gone to Aikido too many times? Do you need to not eat a hoagie tomorrow? Take a pill. All right.
Speaking of celebrity boxing, because I decided who was the – I'm looking to see who – so the final match of the two-episode celebrity boxing special, Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh, God.
Versus
– Screech.
Joni Lawler, China.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Rest in peace.
So
R.I.P.
That was like –
So the second part of this question, if there was a celebrity death match that you could put together, who would it be?
Oh, you got to start it while we think about this one.
Ooh.
No, just off the top of your head. If there was a celebrity death match right now, who would it be?
Celebrity death match.
I got it. Taylor Swift and Katy Perry.
Oh. I mean, that's already a death match that's happening.
No, it's a war of words right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's,
no.
Can I request that be like a bra match?
You could request
it. I mean, that's
live.
I would say total celebrity death match.
I mean, because player's going to play.
Play,
play, play, play.
Now we
play.
Got bad blood.
All right, so I'm going to say I want a three-way match between Jason Mraz, John Mayer, and that other guy that's Nick Johnson.
Jack Johnson.
Because they are all so chill, but they all play the same fucking music all the time. And I'm
what has Jason Mraz done recently to be thrown into a death match?
But they do the same music. It's the same person. It's like if you could put two movies into a death match, I would pick Deep Impact and Armageddon. It's the same fucking movie, different cast.
I would take John Mayer in that fight.
Well, I wouldn't take it. I would hope they would all die somehow. Like North Korea
Mayer
would
just kill him with his guitar.
Like John, no, I would hope that North Korea would just bomb Reno, Nevada, where that fight would happen.
Wow,
Jim Jefferies show.
Wow.
Hello, my name is Jim Jefferies.
What the fuck?
Rob, if you could see two people fight, who would it be? Not hobos. I mean,
celebrities. Not
bum fights.
Bum fights nine.
Quentin Tarantino and Samuel L. Jackson.
Wow.
Okay, that's deep. That's a deep cut.
It's almost as bad as Tim Burton and
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
I want to see Tim Burton versus Chris Nolan. A man who killed a Batman, a man who saved Batman.
So, Ken? Like, my...
I didn't mean to say just as bad. I think that's just crazy. That's
Mine would be more like... It would be like a build like Celebrity Deathmatch would be, because I'd want the dude from The Kingsman that I can't think of his name off the top of my
head.
Colin Firth. There you go. Colin Firth and
Colin Farrell.
No, who's the dude that plays James Bond right now?
Daniel Craig.
Wow.
Yeah, like that would be a great fight. Based on their character wise.
No, let's
even though Daniel Craig can't stand being James Bond right now.
What? How about this
for one more movie?
Yeah, with the amount of money he's getting.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think about Kid Rock versus Sean Penn or Alec Baldwin? Kid Rock versus Alec Baldwin. That's probably not generationally possible. So, like, Ted Nugent versus Alec Baldwin. drunkest, sloppiest old man fight in the world.
I'd put so much money on Baldwin. You have no idea.
My money on Nugent.
Bows and arrows not allowed.
Fred Bear, motherfucker.
All right, so last question.
Hold on. Did you ever see the Vine of the guy who mocked the Dexter stuff? That goes surprise, motherfucker!
Surprise, motherfucker!
First prize, motherfucker!
Office Depot, supplies, motherfucker!
wrong sides.
No, he's holding the oh god, Hunger Games book. Rue dies, motherfucker!
All right, so
5 minutes left.
We talked about this a little bit on the group chat. Yes, we have a group chat. If you want to be involved, text us. We'll allow you in our group chat. No, we won't. But
or get on Twitter at Better on Draft.
Facebook, Better on Draft. Twitch, Bod Podcast. Untapped, Bod Podcast.
Instagram,
Better on Draft.
So real quick.
YouTube, Better on Draft.
We did a summer beer draft. Ken chose pussy beers, which I would expect. Not like brewed out of a vagina, but Corona Light and...
There are beers that are brewed with lactic acid from vaginas. You know that, right?
I didn't feel that was worth
it. I mean, that seems like where you were going. No, other than, you know,
my question is, what would you consider like the perfect fall beer? Like, when I think fall, I think football, I think cider mills, I think cooling temperatures, I think Oktoberfest. So, you know, I thought like summer shandy is a great summer beer. I think, and I know that's basic as AF.
You're basic, bro.
So, Rob, what is your perfect like fall beer?
One I always fall to when football season starts. Unfortunately, you know, football season is kind of
light.
Being an absolute, you know, pain in the ass this year because of all the shit that's going on. But my normal would be Bell's Cherry Porter, or Cherry Stout, rather, as I say that, because I have Short's Barrel Age Black Cherry Porter in the bag right now.
Nick, do you have a fall beer? Like, when the season changes, do your beer preferences change?
No, they really don't. Well, I'm probably going to start going more towards the darker ones now because just, you know.
As racist.
I was gonna ask if he was down with the swirl. What's going on? Yeah,
no, probably going to start going towards the stouts and there's more now.
Chocolate now that, and vanilla.
Ebony and ivory.
Huh? He's got your jungle fever.
Robin Big.
Robin Thick.
No, Robin Big.
My best friend.
Ken. I know you're a stout drinker year round or a brown drinker year round.
Do you have to ask?
Is there a brown that you
Bell's Brown?
On? Bell's Brown.
Thank you, Nick.
But you drink that all the time, don't you? Or
no, it's a seasonal.
Okay.
I see. Yeah.
So
I could drink it all the time.
So I went to Shortoberfest, and I can't think of what it was. I'm pretty sure it rhymes with Schmienbusch.
Schmorschmorschen.
But I could have swore that they literally chopped a stick of butter and then poured their Oktoberfest on top of it. Because it was just like I was gumming beer down. It was not good.
Gumming beer
down. It was like, nah, 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 nah. Like, I don't know what
like
the
like. You were just in a moment of convalescence and your dentures were out.
And I was drinking Oktoberfest at the same time. Exactly. yeah. It was like mangoes, something like that. But. Well, that will wrap up five questions. So I don't know. Did you guys prefer me the Grizzly Growler of Truth, or do you want me to bring back the singles?
I mean,
Grizzly Growler of Truth.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit more of a challenge. So I'm liking that. And
should we do just a Grizzly Growler of Truth and then five questions on the Grizzly Growler?
Oh no. Let's keep
no five questions is solid.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep it the same way.
Well, that's what you got for five questions today. We have a new segment. For the next 100 times, I will bring a growler.
100 times.
It could be from a brewery. It could be from a party store because now that Michigan allows party stores to sell growlers.
You know, you can get a growler of beer at Zatuna Liquor.
Yeah.
Actually, you can get a howler. They have the Grolsch Cab howlers there.
That's fine. Yeah, on just south of M59 and Rochester Road.
Yeah. Go check it out. Tell Jack and Gus we said hi. Don't forget to check out Brown Iron Brewhouse, 26 and Van Dyke. Plenty of beer, plenty of food. Quizzo one night a week.
The poutine is fantastic. Braised beef poutine. And just
I do God. Judge poutine. Places by their poutine. Have you ever had One-Eyed Betty's poutine?
I don't go to One-Eyed Betty's. It's too far from where I live. I like to live on the lake. So, yeah, no.
Okay.
Pat O'Brien's has poutine in St. Clair Shores. But they use Cheese Whiz, so I disqualify.
Oh,
I'll have to check that out soon because I'm going to be working at Pat O'Brien soon.
On purpose?
Not on purpose. I've been told to go there.
Well, come drink. We'll make a day of it. We'll go to Baffin, not Boffin. We'll go to Baffin and we'll drink beer.
Boffin.
So that's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. You can find us Better on Draft Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Bod Podcast on Twitch and Untapped. Better on Draft on. I missed one. Instagram. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.